disciplined problem-solving approach. Back in July 2004, Kevin Rollins became Dell's CEO. He was a big shot in business, having worked at Bain & Company. Dell was doing great back then, making lots of money and looking ahead to good times. But by 2007, things went downhill fast. Dell's sales dropped, and HP became the top computer maker instead. To make matters worse, Dell had a big problem with their laptop batteries catching fire, so they had to recall lots of them. One might quickly judge Rollins as a bad CEO, relying on what psychologist Daniel Kahneman calls fast thinking. This is when we make snap decisions based on instinct rather than taking the time to think things through. In contrast, slow thinking or System 2 thinking is more deliberate and careful. Let's take Dell's situation as an example. A System 2 thinker would take the time to research and understand what's going on. They'd discover that despite Dell's stock price dropping, it was still doing better than its competitors. They'd also learn that Sony, not Dell, was responsible for the faulty batteries. HP had made a big purchase during that time, and the whole tech industry was changing fast, affecting what customers wanted. Effective problem solving. When you think you've got a problem figuring out with just a bit of info and try fixing it without really knowing what's going on, things can go wrong. To get good solutions, you've got to question what you think, look deeper, find what's missing, get more info, and test your ideas before you go ahead with a fix. But don't get stuck overthinking. Do enough research to act, not so much that you're stuck not doing anything. Even experts struggle to solve complex problems. They might fare better than the average executive in their areas of expertise, but they still can fall victim to mental pitfalls, such as a mistaken belief they already know enough to solve a problem, which can hamper thinking. A proven, systematic problem-solving method makes it possible for any decision-maker, expert or not, to tackle complex business problems and arrive at workable solutions. The 4S method, consisting of four stages, stating the problem, structuring the solution, solving the problem, and selling the solution, offers a formal, reasoned approach to tackling problems of all kinds. Spontaneous decisions lead to errors. Depending too much on assumptions and informal decision-making can land us in five tricky situations. 1. Misunderstanding the problem. In 1999, the music industry Hongchos took on MP3 websites like Napster, aiming to stop piracy. But despite shutting down Napster, record sales kept plummeting. Instead of just fighting the tech, they should have followed Apple's lead and found ways to make money from digital music. 2. Taking the solution for granted. Taking solutions for granted is a common pitfall, even when the problem is well defined. Decision makers often jump straight into solving a problem with preconceived solutions, based on assumptions rather than thorough research. For example, in 2005, Frank Ribu, the CEO of Danone, and Mohammed Yunus from Grameen Bank tried to address child malnutrition in Bangladesh by introducing Shoktidoi yogurt and using Grameen's distribution network. However, this initiative didn't meet expectations because it overlooked crucial aspects like storage, distribution, marketing, pricing, and customer perceptions. 3. Using the wrong method. When a call center's HR director tried using personality algorithms to screen job applicants and lower turnover rates, the plan flopped. The real issue causing high turnover was low pay and unpleasant working conditions, not the personalities of the employees. Sometimes, when we rely too heavily on specific methods, we miss important parts of the problem that don't fit within that method's scope. 4. Narrow problem framing led to failure. Upon taking over as CEO in 2011, Ron Johnson endeavored to revitalize the well-established retailer JCPenney. However, his efforts fell short. Johnson's mistake was narrowing down and misinterpreting the issue of customer dissatisfaction. He assumed it resembled a problem he had successfully tackled at Apple. Instead of delving into the root causes of customer discontent, he jumped to conclusions based on his past experiences. 5. Poor solution communication. It's just as important to tell people about solutions as it is to find them. In the 1950s and 60s, a scientist named Ansel Keys thought that eating too much fat caused heart disease and obesity. But other studies have already shown that sugar was the main problem. Keys' idea was wrong, but he was good at getting people to believe it. Because of that, his theory ruled the nutrition world for a long time. The core problem post-analysis. In the first step of the 4S method, we'll tackle the core issue head-on. To get to the heart of the problem, we use TSCA, 5 questions to guide us. These questions overlap and can be used flexibly and repeatedly. Let's dive in and pinpoint what matters. 1. Problem. What makes this issue a problem? It's when what you want doesn't match up with what's happening. Think of it as the gap between your ideal outcome and reality. Dig deeper by asking, why now, to find the root cause. For instance, in the music industry's fight against MP3 file sharing, the problem wasn't just the illegal downloads, but how they threatened profits. 2. Owner. Who needs to fix this problem? Is it a concern for the whole industry or just one company? Defining who owns the problem can change how we approach solving it. Take music piracy, for example. It affected the entire industry, but individual labels also felt its impact. 3. Success. Picture success. What would it look like? Think about measuring success in a way that sparks productive talks. Imagine a future where you've cracked the problem. So, what did success mean? For the music biz, stopping downloads wasn't an option, but it could still make the most of sales. 4. Constraints. Think limits and trade-offs. What are the hurdles and sacrifices you need to think about? Constraints might hit the success criteria, the solution, or how you tackle the problem. They often show up as trade-offs. Time, money, and info access are usual limits. Solving a problem often means loosening these constraints. With tech-driven music downloads here to stay, the music industry had to deal with limits on making more money. 5. Actors. Identifying who has a say in solving a problem is crucial. A stakeholder analysis helps pinpoint all those involved, each with their own goals. For example, when the music industry tried to influence Congress, they didn't realize most lawmakers weren't keen on limiting technological progress in their field. This could have been foreseen with a stakeholder analysis. Select problem-solving approaches. The 4S method gives us 3 ways to tackle problem-solving. The hypothesis-driven approach works well when you already have a potential solution in mind and need to test, verify, and improve it. But be cautious, as this method can lead you into traps like assuming your solution is perfect and defining the problem too narrowly. It can be tricky, demanding clear thinking and logic. However, it helps generate practical ideas and encourages active learning without adding extra complications. The issue-driven approach is another way to tackle problems without falling into those traps. Here, you break down the problem into smaller parts using an issue tree. Each part becomes an issue or a sub-issue that you can address individually. It requires careful thought, time, creativity, and critical thinking. But think of it as your go-to method when you don't have a clear idea of the solution or when time isn't pressing. Some problems don't easily fit into neat categories, but that's where frameworks come in handy. They help organize complex issues by grouping them based on typical situations or common problems. For example, a stock analyst might use a framework tailored to a specific company to predict its future performance, while a private equity investor might rely on an industry framework to decide whether to invest in a company. But remember, don't pick a framework just because it aligns with your personal preferences or assumptions. When it comes to tackling complex, people-centered challenges, design thinking is the way to go. This approach involves observing users to understand their needs and then creating and testing potential solutions. Strategic problem decomposition. Start by pinpointing the main question or challenge at the center and break it into smaller issues and sub-issues, framing them as questions. Be thorough to cover all aspects of the problem. To explore every angle, further break down the sub-issues. Eventually, you'll need to simplify the tree to make it easier to handle. Remember the 80-20 rule. About 20% of the issues will likely lead to about 80% of the solution. Imagine LibriNova, a French digital self-publishing platform, aiming to spread its reach worldwide. Through a TOSCA analysis, they pinpoint the core issue, determining the ideal strategy for global expansion. They then break down this challenge into smaller parts, such as exploring potential international expansion avenues and identifying crucial criteria for both LibriNova's management and its shareholders. Further examination of expansion options may involve investigating various countries or potential partnership opportunities. Expansion strategy hypothesis. LibriNova's problem-solving team might opt for the hypothesis-driven approach if they have a strong contender among various solutions. Let's say LibriNova's CEO suggests collaborating with DeMarc, a Canadian digital book distributor, as a potential solution. The team then builds a hypothesis pyramid to test if this idea holds promise. They create sub-hypotheses, which are conditions needed to support the main solution. These include checking if Canada is a lucrative market, if collaborating on a sister platform is the best way to enter the market, and if DeMarc is a suitable partner. The sub-hypotheses must not overlap and, taken together, must represent all conditions necessary to support the lead hypothesis, a requirement termed mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive, MEC. If one sub-hypothesis fails, it disproves the lead hypothesis. All sub-hypotheses must hold to demonstrate the feasibility of the lead hypothesis. For LibriNova, when checking for MEC, mutually exclusive, collectively exhaustive, it becomes clear that there's a need for another sub-hypothesis. Teaming up with DeMarc to launch a sister platform in Canada is the top choice. With this pyramid complete, the team can then dive into analyzing each sub-hypothesis and its overall impact on the business. This step is crucial as it uncovers important insights and allows the team to tweak the proposed solution based on what they uncover. Design thinking, a five-step process. Take Doug Dietz, an accomplished designer of medical imaging systems, for example. Once, he saw a scared little girl entering the MRI room. To her, the sleek machine seemed like a terrifying monster. Dietz felt awful and decided to rethink his approach. He and his team dug deep to understand why kids were afraid and came up with more attractive solutions. Their creation, the GE Adventure Series, turned MRI scans into thrilling adventures by transforming the machine into a pirate ship or a spacecraft. Dietz and his team cracked the problem using design thinking. The design thinking path consists of five steps. 1. Empathize. Aim to comprehend the issue from the user's perspective. Design thinking adopts three techniques from ethnographic research: observation, engagement, and immersion. 2. Define. Condense the observational research into a practical statement, considering the problem from the user's viewpoint. 3. Ideate. Generate concepts based on the user insights gathered in the empathize phase. Utilize methods like brainstorming, where a group collaborates to create ideas without judgment, and brainwriting, where individuals independently produce ideas. Choose the most promising ideas and develop them further. 4. Prototype. Construct prototypes that transform abstract ideas into tangible models. 5. Test. Assess the prototypes to determine which offer the best solution. Discard those that do not meet expectations. Continuously gather insights about user needs and preferences. Solution pitch, pyramid strategy. In the last step of the 4S method, you're selling the solution by focusing on what the owner needs. You'll organize your recommendations like a pyramid. Start with a clear, brief statement of the main message, Then add key points that back up your recommendation. This creates a solid storyline. If you've confirmed a solution during problem solving, your storyline should follow the same structure as the hypothesis pyramid. If you've used the issue-driven approach, start building your storyline from the bottom of the issue tree, beginning with basic findings and working up to the conclusion. No matter which approach you take, keep in mind that your pitch aims to get approval and prompt action. Key points. 1. Explore deep before deciding. Slow thinking trumps fast decisions. 2. Use the 4S method for systematic problem solving. 3. Beware pitfalls, like misunderstanding problems or assuming solutions. 4. Identify core issues with TSCA: problem, owner, success, constraints, and actors. 5. Break down problems with hypothesis-driven or issue-driven approaches. 6. Ensure viability with MISI sub-hypotheses in the hypothesis pyramid. 7. Persuade decision makers with concise, organized recommendations.